If you work in university maintenance, Grainger considers you an MVP. Because your playbook ensures your arena is always ready for tip-off. And Grainger is your trusted partner, offering the products you need, all in one place. From HVAC and plumbing supplies to lighting and more. And all delivered with plenty of time left on the clock. So your team always gets the win. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, visit Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. And it is Good Friday, everybody. It's a very special Good Friday. Hello, welcome, everybody, to the Todd Starnes radio program. We are so honored that you are joining us by radio, by audio stream, or our many platforms where we are now broadcasting the show on Facebook, Live, Rumble, YouTube, and we want to welcome all of our listeners literally from around the world, but especially right here in the United States. And, of course, many Christians today commemorating Good Friday, the ultimate sacrifice that was paid. And I'll have more to say about that in just a little while. I know many of you are involved in Good Friday services and events and traditions. And honestly, you know, we would love to hear about some of those traditions. Someone sent me some video, and if you haven't seen it, we've posted it over on our social media platforms. But this was out of Madison, Mississippi, which is near Jackson, the state capital. And there is a wonderful private school down there, Madison Ridgeland School, Academy, rather. And the head football coach posted this video of the entire football team out on the track. And every single one of them came out of the locker room wearing their jerseys, and they're in shorts. And they're all carrying about 100 pounds of weights on their shoulders. And the coach had the young men at this Christian school walking at least a half a mile, I believe, with the weights on the backs of their shoulders, because the coach wanted these young men to understand, you know, just a small portion of what Christ went through as he carried the cross to Calvary. Just truly a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I salute this coach, because that coach, ladies and gentlemen, that coach is going to do something with these young men, and he's giving them a lifetime memory, but he's also giving them real life guidance and advice and an application to what actually happened on that Good Friday, the first Good Friday. So anyway, if you have any kinds of traditions, I know many churches around the nation are doing incredible things, and I don't care about the Easter Bunny drops and all that. So I get that. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But we can never forget that Easter is not about Easter. It's not about the bunnies. It's not about the candy. It's not about the chocolate. Not about the eggs. It's about the ultimate sacrifice that Christ made, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That's what Good Friday is all about. So certainly hope to see all of our Memphis friends. I know we have a lot of the folks that I go to church with listen to this program, and we'll be at our service later on this evening. Well, today is also Open Line Friday, and we always enjoy hearing from you, whether it's liberals, conservatives. We just give us a call. Whatever you want to talk about today, we will talk about. If we didn't hit on a subject that you feel like is really important, we want you to give us a call, and we'll talk about that today. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Of course, our good buddy, Joe Messina, is going to drop by from California. We've got Congressman Jim Shaw from Oklahoma. And we also have Joe Thomas, who is the owner of one of our newer affiliates, WTON. They're in Virginia. And by the way, we're also doing trivia today. So an opportunity for you to win some great prizes. So a lot going on. But we do want to start with some breaking news.
Breaking news now on the Todd Starn Show.
And this news is going to be creeping out throughout today's program, so bear with us. But what we can tell you is that a U.S. fighter jet, was downed over Iran. At least one crew member has been rescued by American forces. This coming from the reporting of CBS News, and they're all over this. It was an F-15E fighter jet, and it was shot down in the southwestern part of Iran. According to the Iranians, they've got images. The Iranians are showing footage of the downed plane. There was also video of a refueling plane and a couple of choppers that were flying very low, which certainly was a search and rescue mission. So we understand from the White House that Caroline Leavitt, telling CBS News, the president has been briefed on the downed fighter jet. Again, one crew member has been rescued, and the search is on. This is a two-member crew aircraft, so search and rescue still going on. So these are sort of the workhorse planes. They're out there involved in bombing missions. So there's really not, this is not, you know, air-to-air combat we're talking about here. So theoretically, this aircraft was actually hitting targets in Iran when something happened. We understand, according from some national security analysts, that the crew would have been armed with sidearms. But again, we don't know what's happening and on the ground right now with that other crew member, whether they were killed in the crash or whether they were taken as a prisoner by the Iranians. So we'll keep you updated on that story as it develops, but clearly a disturbing situation. And look, we knew this was going to happen. I do think you're going to see people now pushing back, saying, wait a second, I thought, you know, the U.S. had air superiority over Iran. Well, Iran is a very large country, ladies and gentlemen. And yeah, the messaging has been all over the place on Iran, but we've got to, let's see how this plays out. Again, I am still trusting the president, and I'm trusting that the president is getting good counsel from his White House staff. Otherwise, we're going to be in what could be a quagmire, and nobody wants that to happen. Nobody wants that to happen. All right, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So we're following a couple of other interesting stories. One of them out of a school in San Diego. This is Torrey Pines High School. And a couple of weeks ago, they had a big protest that the school allowed kids to walk out of class. Now, we have seen these protests all over the country, and it's very similar to what happened at Torrey Pines High School. The kids held very profane messages. They had signs that had profane messages saying blank ICE, ICE is KKK. If your son is an ICE agent, your mom's is a hoe. That was one of the others. And so pretty profane stuff that these kids were protesting with. So anyway, a couple of days later, there's a kid at the school, and he actually supports ICE. And so he had some flyers made up. And you can see the flyer. We have a photo of the flyer at toddstearns.com. And it had a little heart, you know, the little red heart. And it said, I heart ICE, real Americans. Well, the school leaders, the kid got called to the principal's office, and he was told, you are harassing and intimidating students by supporting ICE. So it's okay to go out there with signs that said blank ICE and your mama's a hoe, but it's not okay for a kid to pass out a flyer that says I heart ICE, real Americans. Oh, they also got really triggered by that phrase, real Americans, and they said that the kid, those were fighting words. And those words are dehumanizing. And they suspended the kid. Now, this story has a good ending because this young man, or maybe his parents, but somebody who knew the family, They understood that this was against the law. So they reached out to the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression, and they got involved, and they threatened to sue the school district to Kingdom Come. It was pretty ferocious because, again, a school cannot pick and choose which opinions they allow the students to express. So anyway, the school has now, under the threat of a major federal lawsuit, they have cleared the Young Patriots' record and name. And I say, good for them. We could use a little bit of good news in this country. So well done to this young man. They're not identifying the kid. And well done to the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. Great American patriots all. All right, we are going to take a break. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And Dylan, I say we just rip this Band-Aid off right now and probably throw out our first trivia question of the day. What do you think? Is the team ready? Is the team prepared?
I think we're ready. We've been preparing for this. We're ready.
All right, here we go. What's the most popular Easter candy in America? The most popular Easter candy in America. Is it Reese's peanut butter eggs, jelly beans, peanut M&Ms, or Cadbury cream eggs? If you can tell us the most popular Easter candy in America, you're going to be one of our prize winners today. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Hey, everybody. Todd Starnes here. And I've got to tell you about my friends at PhD Weight Loss, my very good friends at PhD Weight Loss. I'm down 12 pounds already. And at PhD Weight Loss, they've identified that one thing, and they built a plan that works with your body and not against it. If you call now, they're going to give you 2 free weeks in the program and pay for your food so you can finally see real results without more trial and error. If you're done with the yo-yo dieting and you want clarity, call PhD Weight Loss now and mention Starnes. No more guessing, just answers. Call 864-644-1900 and say, Starnes, you're going to get 2 free weeks. You can't miss out on this, folks. 864-644-1900. Say the word Starnes or visit phdweightloss.com. That's phdweightloss.com. The phone number, one more time, 864-644-1900, and say Starnes. All right, welcome back on this Open Line Friday. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. So very happy to have you with us today. Throwing out a little Easter trivia as well. Let's go to Theo in Iowa. Theo, hope you're doing well today.
Hi, Todd. Yes, I am.
Wonderful. Well, let's try to see if we can't win you a prize here. We want to know, what is the most popular Easter candy in America? This is according to Gourmet Gift Baskets. .com. Is it Reese's peanut butter eggs, jelly beans, peanut M&Ms, or Cadbury cream eggs?
I'm going to say jelly beans.
Oh, no. Sorry. We have to hop, hop, hoppity off to the next caller. My apologies, Theo, but you'll have a chance later in the show. Let's go to Wayne in North Carolina. Wayne, we know it's not jelly beans, so your choices are Reese's peanut butter eggs, peanut M&Ms, or Cadbury cream eggs, according to the gourmetgiftbaskets.com. All right, Wayne, what say you?
I say Cadbury.
Yeah, that is correct. Congratulations there, Wayne. You are the winner, and we're going to put you on hold there. It is indeed Cadbury cream eggs. Not a big fan. Too much chocolate for me, and I'm not sure what that goo is in the middle, but go figure. All right, hang tight, Wayne, and folks, we will have hopefully some more trivia questions later on in the program. All right, our telephone number again, 901-260-5926 for Open Line Friday. That's 901-260-5926. Man, there has been a lot of controversy over Jaden Ivey. He's the NBA player. Chicago Bulls got fired because he is a Christian man, and everybody's coming after this guy, including, get this, this is Julia Poe, who is a reporter, and she identifies herself as a queer Christian. Take a listen.
what happened this week did not come as a surprise, which I kind of wrote about in the Tribune. It became fairly clear fairly quickly, just kind of the way that Jaden would approach media interviews. So we had Casey Johnson and I had a fairly normal scrum with him the day that he got traded. He was very meandering in his comments and he brought up his faith a lot, but it was also about 6 hours after he had gotten to Toronto post trade. And we just kind of, I think I at least attributed that to the idea of the kid's head is spinning. This is crazy. You're having to get used to new team, all of that. Brushed it off. 4 games later, he plays for 4 games. And then he had that coach's decision, the DNP CD, which was the first time that we heard anything about him having any knee issues. And in the post-game interview that he did for that, that was the first time that the entire beat kind of became aware. It's meandering, but it's a very focused way of speaking where no matter what questions you ask him, even if it's just, is your knee hurting? Are you experiencing pain? How long have you been experiencing pain? That sort of thing. Everything's getting brought back to the religion. And the specific words that he was using, I am someone, I grew up in Kansas as a person who has lived in the Midwest for most of my life as a Christian myself. I have been around a decent amount of like evangelical language. I know kind of what that sounds like compared to other denominations like Catholicism, Presbyterianism, mm-hmm. that people are kind of used to. And so I recognized a lot of the phrases that he was using as being kind of this like evangelical language. And we had a conversation with that both as a beat. And I even talked a little bit with Bulls PR at the time, not really about, I said, I was like, I don't want to project anything on him. He might just be, you know, speaking his faith. And I, at the time, I'm not going to tell someone how to do their press conferences. If they want to give just, you know, frankly, unusable responses, that is fully their choice. That is part of how they are branding themselves. I'm not going to tell them like, hey, don't do that. I'd love to be able to use his quotes, but if he doesn't want us to be able to use the quotes, like, you know what? That is fully his choice. I was like, we'll work on this in the future. But I did bring up to them, I was like, this language is in line with evangelical language that I have heard that does make me a little bit wary as a visibly queer person of just how he might think of me, interact with me, whatever. I don't want to, and I told them, I was like, I don't want to project that on him. I don't know. I know people who are evangelical who are completely comfortable working with a variety of people in their workplace. But at the time I was like, even just personally talking like with my family about it, I was like, I don't know about this guy. Like this is a new thing that I have not encountered in the locker room before. And I'm saying that as someone who has like talked about, like I've talked about the Bible with Io Dosunmu mm-hmm. many times, you know, so this was very different. The type of language, Great Commission language, that sort of stuff was very different from what I was used to hearing. So that was the first time that I was like, okay, this guy might have a little bit of a different approach to how he's going to speak to people. And he clearly feels comfortable evangelizing, which could get a little bit uncomfortable. And so from then, you know, you hear different things about how he was in Detroit, but he wasn't playing. So I really thought that this was going to be a next season problem if they decided to sign him in RFA. I really just was like, we'll pick that up when we get there. And hopefully maybe he'll have a good off season and just be feeling a little bit better and a little bit more comfortable and more able to kind of like, you know, get to know us and just start building that like beat writer athlete relationship.
All right. So what you heard there was a queer sports reporter who covers the Bulls, and she was triggered by Mr. Ivy's faith in Jesus Christ. She's the one who had a problem. You know what? It's really none of her business. If that guy, if any athlete wants to get up there and thank his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that is his right as a, not only as an American citizen, but also as a player. If they're giving glory to God for the abilities they have to be able to play basketball in the NBA, I don't have a problem with that. And by the way, it doesn't matter if I do, because that is ultimately the player's decision. And the fact of the matter is, they don't like this guy because he's speaking truth to the culture at large when it comes to this whole LGBTQIA pride celebration. It is not a celebration. It is mandatory indoctrination. That's what it is. And this guy said, you know what? I'm offended as a Christian that I'm being forced to endorse and support this. And I say, good for you. All right, 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Here's something most people don't know. When Warren Buffett was just 13 years old, he didn't put his money into a savings account. While other kids were earning next to nothing at local banks, Buffett put $114 into a little-known investment. Today, that $114 would be worth over $15 million. And it wasn't a risky trade, it wasn't even insider knowledge. It was an account that's been around since 1888, and over the last 25 years, it's averaged 29% a year. That's what happens when your money is allowed to compound. Compare that to today's savings accounts, paying less than 0.5%. While inflation quietly eats away at your buying power. Buffett understood early, banks are great businesses, just not for savers. If you'd like to see what some investors call the 29% account, go now to secretaccount29.com. That's secretaccount, the numbers, 29.com. Secretaccount29.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you with us. Our telephone number on this Open Line Friday is 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So yesterday, our good buddy Ted Nugent joined us on my Newsmax show. We covered a lot of ground, including the news that Pam Bondi had been fired. And the more we hear about this, by the way, she's going to the private sector, so she's not staying in the administration. She actually wanted to have more of a graceful exit, but President Trump said, nope, time's up, and it's time to move on and rip off the Band-Aid. Lee Zeldin being mentioned as a possibility, we shall see, as a full-time replacement. But right now, Todd Blanche, who was the assistant, the deputy, rather, AG, is now handling the Justice Department. All right, let's take a listen to, and it, folks, it was a wild conversation. Ted, good to have you with us, and I want to get to your award in just a minute, but I'd love to also hear your take on Pam Bondi. Of course, this is the big breaking news story coming out of our nation's capital.
Yeah, very important. I can't think of anything more important than justice, you know, and it's so elusive, if not existent, across this once great nation in 2026, celebrating this 250th anniversary of an American dream. Your last two guests nailed it. Ditto, ditto, ditto. Truth, logic, and common sense is alive and well out there. But if I was in charge, and I should be the attorney general, but I'd run out of rope by Tuesday. The target-rich environment for clear and present, unambiguous, glaringly obvious criminal activity in our government, especially in the Democrat Party with the Somalian thieves and invaders, the Democrat Party opening the borders to slaughter Americans with chemical warfare from the communist Chinese and Mexican government fentanyl attack. I mean, Todd, even guitar players can see what's going on here. So let me just represent working hard, playing hard America. We'll get into Gen Z, which I think there's a little working hard, playing hard America to be found there. Not much, but enough to keep us hopeful. I hang out with good Americans every day. I'm here in Texas, and I've talked to people in over 20 states today already that are very interested. We see that Todd Blanche is taking over Pam Bondi's position, but Pam has not done a good job. President Trump was kind and supportive in saying adios, mofo, to Pam, but I don't think she's leaving with a good reputation. Whether it's the Epstein files, the treasonous behavior by so many in the Democrat Party, and even rhinos violating their sacred constitutional oath. It's, you know, I hunt pigs here in Texas, and you can harvest and manage the pigs by any means necessary. Well, our government is infested with pigs, criminal, corrupt, oath-violating, treasonous pigs. So it's going to take a real helicopter machine gunner in the position of attorney general. I'm using metaphors here, of course, Todd, because I can relate to the target-rich environment. We've got to start holding people accountable. Yeah. People are pissed off because if any of us, we the people, pulled off the glaring criminality of so many in the government and the media and in Hollywood, we'd all be shackled and facing a firing squad. And I'd like to bring back the firing squad and public hangings. Maybe that would teach these idiots a lesson. And it's so long overdue.
Yeah, I got to look, as far as the metaphors go, Ted, I'm from West Tennessee, so I'm with you. I get the barnyard metaphors there. And I got to tell you, I'm with you. I'm sick and tired of all the hearings. I'm tired of all the investigations. Let's start going after these people. They tried to throw the president of the United States into jail. Somebody's got to pay the price for that.
It's been running wild. I was a victim of lawfare way before President Trump came down that escalator. I've been attacked by the Barack Obama, Eric Holder gangsters trying to turn me into a felon in Alaska for hunting bear during the bear season in a bear hunting area using a bow and arrow during the bear season with the bow and arrow. I mean, I could tell you examples how California and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the corrupt bastards, went after me to try to shut me up because I got a big Second Amendment truth, logic, common sense, and a conservation mouth, and I promote these self-evident truths. So I was a victim of lawfare, and they failed. They failed miserably because when they try to debate me, I go Pierce Morgan on them, and I club them to death with truth, logic, and common sense and examples and the evidence that supports everything I stand for, everything that I do. So let me just say it on the Todd Starnes Newsmax show. Hey, everybody on the left, I dare you. Debate me anywhere you want. I have a Real America's Voice Spirit Campfire podcast. I have a Ted Nugent Spirit of the Wild TV show on the Pursuit Channel. Bring it on. Debate me and watch me decapitate these idiots with their lawfare, their dishonesty, their corruption, their criminality. So you're right. We, the people of America, are looking for some accountability. The Epstein file outrage, it's insanity. The satanic yeah. rituals from Hollywood and the media and our own government. I mean, if I was in, well, I already told you what I'd do if I was in charge, but we're looking for somebody. And if Trump has brought in Todd Blanche, he's got some good credentials, but we're going to wait to see what he does. And I want somebody in a cage. I want somebody facing accountability. It would happen to you and me. It should happen to them.
Darn tootin'. Ted, we got some breaking news here. The War Secretary, Pete Hegseth, just announcing that service members will now be allowed to carry and store personal firearms on military bases. You know, up until now, they were just sitting ducks. They were not allowed to have access to those weapons. The War Secretary reversing that policy today. I know you're a big Second Amendment guy. How do you respond to that?
Well, I respond to that, duh. So heroes of the military trained to sacrifice their lives with weaponry on behalf of their sacred constitutional law. Hallelujah, they yeah. get to carry guns. Remember Fort Hood? When Army heroes were forced into unarmed helplessness, they're going to die for the Second Amendment right, but they're not provided the Second Amendment right. Todd, I could tell you stories when Toby Keith and I were in Fallujah, and I was cocked, locked, and ready to rock the Glock around the clock, Dr. Spot. I'm going to Fallujah. Instead of carrying a 10mm and four magazines, I carried two 10mm and 24 magazines. Todd! I'm going to Fallujah, and some commander of the United States Marine Corps tried to scold me. He said, how'd you get that gun in here? And I said, hey, commander, listen up. You work for me, and remember those flag-draped coffins we saluted yesterday? They died for my God-given, constitutionally guaranteed rights. Todd, it took the author of Wango Tango to teach a military commander what the Second Amendment means. I'm an American. The heroes of the military are Americans. They got a right to keep and bear arms from God. No man can stand between God and the rights that he gave me as guaranteed by the Constitution. If you don't get that, call 1-800-NUMBNUT, and maybe Michael Moore will explain why the Second Amendment is superfluous. I mean, it's Planet of the Cuckoo's Nest out there.
Let's get that number up on the screen.
Thank God Pete Hegseth, yeah. and thank God President Trump. Thank God the heroes of the military. Don't carry a gun. Carry two guns.
I love it. Ted, we got to talk about what we brought you on here to talk about, which is Generation Z. And I want you to take a look. We've got some numbers here. This survey, it's insane. Less than 24% of Gen Z Democrats are proud to be American. 65% for Republican Gen Zers. And I'm wondering, what do we need to do to teach these kids about why America is the most exceptional nation on the planet?
I wish my dad was still alive. You see what I'm made out of here, working hard, playing hard, America. I make sacrifice and take risks so that I'm in the asset column. I run a trap line and keep the varmint population under control. Meanwhile, these numbnuts will call me the murderer of innocent animals as they sit down to their tofu diet that kills more animals than I ever could if I traded my bow and arrow in for an M4, which, by the way, I did last week. The point is, these kids are so soft. They are so spoiled. They have no idea why they turn on the hot water faucet, why hot water comes out. They have no idea why they can plug stuff in the wall and electricity turns it on. These kids need to be stripped naked and thrown into the wilderness without anything for a week. And if they don't make it, tough. They need to learn what my kids and my grandkids, my bandmates, I got a bunch of rock and roll bandmates that are tougher than any of these Gen Zers. Now, let me clarify that. Only the guilty need to feel guilty. My sons and daughters, my grandkids, they are self-sufficient. They have alarm clocks. They do chores. They work hard. They earn their dinner at night and the roof over their head. We have our anti-education system has so maniacally dumbed down America. If I just stuck to the anti-education I graduated with in 1967, I'd be just as dumb as they are. But I went out with a work ethic that my father demanded from me. And I made a career and a happy American dream of productivity in the asset column. There are a lot of Gen Zers and people from every imaginable walk of life and social strata that are really hard workers, self-sufficient, honest, capable, adequately cocky and funny, but they understand that self-sufficiency is the ultimate source of true happiness, and to be slovenly and to be a bloodsucker and expect somebody else to take care of you, they go to bed at night angry and hurt and less than accomplished. That's why they paint their hair and put a pig ring in their nose, because they're so clueless. They have no direction in life. They need to get a bow and arrow and shoot a raccoon and make a rug. These kids are so soft and so spoiled. But again, not all of them, only the guilty. But you know who the real guilty party is? The parents. The parents are responsible for this. They're raised a bunch of goofballs.
That's it. All right, Ted, they're yelling at me. We got to take a break here, but I got to mention this one thing. Congratulations to you winning the Sportsman of the Year award. Now, I didn't realize that you were a bow hunter. I went bow hunting 2 decades ago, and I got to tell you, I have great respect for you. That is a tough thing here. Oh, there we go. We got it. We got it going here on Newsmax too. Congratulations to you.
Thank you. That's how I feed my family. I've been a bow hunter since I could walk. I was born in 48. I was in camp in 49. Wow. And I never missed a season. And the mystical flight of the arrow is the guidance of my quality of life, because I'm in control of my arrow and I'm in control of my life. It's that simple.
Here's something most people don't know. When Warren Buffett was just 13 years old, he didn't put his money into a savings account. While other kids were earning next to nothing at local banks, Buffett put $114 into a little-known investment. Today, that $114 would be worth over $15 million. And it wasn't a risky trade, it wasn't even insider knowledge. It was an account that's been around since 1888, and over the last 25 years, it's averaged 29% a year. That's what happens when your money is allowed to compound. Compare that to today's savings accounts, paying less than 0.5%. While inflation quietly eats away at your buying power. Buffett understood early, banks are great businesses, just not for savers. If you'd like to see what some investors call the 29% account, go now to secretaccount29.com. That's secretaccount, the numbers, 29.com. Secretaccount29.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. What an honor to have you with us today. So, Dr. Robert Jeffress, day before yesterday, was at the White House Easter luncheon and delivered, I think, some really, really powerful comments about President Trump and praying over President Trump. I know there's been a lot of controversy over Paula White and what Paula White had to say. But the reality is that that Paula White, that's her religious belief, and President Trump loves that woman. And they have been friends forever. I know a lot of Christians are very upset, and the allegations that she compared him to Jesus Christ, I get all of that. But I want you to hear what Robert Jeffress said, because I think, honestly, this is what we ought to be talking about. Take a listen.
I remember so well, January of 2016, before one vote had been cast anywhere, I was flying around with then businessman Donald Trump at different primaries, and we had just finished a Wendy's cheeseburger he served on that plane. And I said, Mr. President, I believe you're going to be Mr. President. I said, Mr. Trump, I believe God has appointed you to be the next president of the United States. And if that happens, it's because he has a plan for you and for our country. He said, do you really believe that, Robert? And I said, yes, sir, I do believe it. And God brought this to happen. I mean, who would have ever thought that a billionaire real estate tycoon from New York City would usher in a spiritual revival in the United States? So I want us to pray for him. Father, we thank you that you are a sovereign God. Your word says you are the one who selects kings and removes kings. And in your plan, you have given us a great president, not just once, but twice. Father, we, every one of us in this room, first of all, want to pray for President Trump. We want to pray for his physical safety, for the safety of our First Lady, of Barron, and all of the family, for Vice President Vance. Father, we pray that you would protect them from those who would do evil against them. We realize this is not just a political battle we're in. It's a spiritual battle, a battle between light and darkness, a battle between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. And we know you're going to prevail. And I just pray you would help us be an encouragement to this great president, that you would continue to use him in a mighty way. And we focus on you, especially at this Easter time. Thank you for sending the one who came and died and rose again that we might have eternal life, Jesus our Lord. It's in his saving name that we pray. Amen.
Well, amen, Pastor Jeffers. That's the prayer, and that's the context that nobody wants to talk about in the mainstream media. As a matter of fact, Mediaite, there's a writer there by the name of Tommy Christopher. And this is the headline, lay hands on him. Six wildest moments from Trump's now deleted Easter event with evangelicals. And they make it seem like it's outrageous for Christians to lay hands on someone and pray for them, which, by the way, is a very normal thing. Now, if there had been a foot-washing Baptist in the crowd, okay. I would have been okay with drawing the line there. Or any snake handling people. We don't judge, but don't you be coming to me with a snake. I'll have to go full-blown Methodist on you. President Trump, they allege, compared himself to Jesus in No King's protest riff. Simply untrue. It is absolutely untrue. So the media, they either don't get Christianity or they don't care to. It's one or the other. Or they just love to hate on Christians. And that brings me to you folks in Houston, Texas. And we have this up on our Twitter feed. And by the way, before I get to the, before I read this to you, I just want to say that during the break, we'll be on our YouTube live chat. So during the commercial break here in a few minutes, head over to there. I'm answering questions and we have a fun conversation and it's me behind the keyboard. But go over to our YouTube channel and you'll be able to take part in that conversation. But in Houston, Texas, they put out an announcement a few weeks ago and it was a beautiful announcement. It was a graphic and it said, and it had images of mosques and Islamic imagery and happy Eid al-Fitr, whatever. I don't celebrate, so I really don't care how to pronounce it. But anyway, it was a very specific holiday greeting for the Muslims there in Houston, Texas. Dylan, you want to know what they did for Good Friday?
I would like to know.
Important announcement. Due to the spring holiday, the city of Houston offices will be closed. That's it. Happy Good Friday, Christians in Houston.
There you go.
So we've got, I mean, folks, there you go. That is, and this is happening in Houston, Texas, of all places. where even the atheists are Baptist in Houston. I mean, there are a lot of Baptists there, but there are a lot of Christians in Houston, Texas, and City Hall just gave you the great big middle finger. For the Muslims, they will bend over and worship, and the reason why they do that is they don't want the Islamists blowing them up. So they will accommodate the Islamist in whatever way possible. But the Christians, you guys are done. And again, this is not in Berkeley, California. This is not in New York City. This is Houston, the buckle of the Bible Belt, for crying out loud. Unbelievable. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Open Line Friday. Coming up, Joe Thomas from WTON in Virginia. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And we are live on this Good Friday, border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Great to have you with us today. A lot going on. A lot going on today, and we're keeping you updated on a couple of big breaking news stories. First and foremost, a fighter jet has gone down in Iran. We understand the president has been briefed on the situation. At least one of the two crew members has been rescued. We do not know the fate right now of the missing crew member of that fighter jet, the F-15E fighter jet, which was, we believe, conducting a bombing raid. Now, before we go to our guest, in the last segment, we brought to your attention what's happening in Houston, Texas, one of the most Christian cities in America. And City Hall, a few weeks ago, put out a massive display celebrating and commemorating a Muslim holiday. But for Good Friday, they put out a statement saying that they were going to be closed for a spring holiday. That's all the Christians get. So City Hall has decided, you know what? Christians don't matter anymore. We have certainly seen the influx of Muslims and Islamists into the Lone Star State, and a lot of people are beginning to wake up and realize that even their Republican elected figures are not necessarily on their side. All right, let's go to the phone lines, though. Mike in Clear Lake City, Texas, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Mike, I understand you've got something to say about that.
Well, I have an issue, but to give you some background, the first mosque in Texas was built in 1979. And since that time, there are now 400 mosques in Texas. There's 200 in the Houston area alone. Matter of fact, we live down the street around the corner from one. And so this is the Islamification has been going on for a while. Now, Chip Roy and all these, you know, whoever else wants to jump on the bandwagon and pound the table and say, oh, we're going to ban Sharia law and all like that. To me, it's just grandstanding, because I've called everyone's office that you can think of trying to get a copy of this so-called ban. They say it's HR 5722. You got to download it and yada, yada, which I don't have. I'm not computer literate. I can't do that. So I contacted my congressman's office, Brian Babin, and they're supposed to mail me a printed out hard copy of the legislation that's being proposed. My point is, by the time this gets through Congress, if it gets voted in through the House, through the Senate, where are we going to be at that time? And the issue I have is, I want to know what the ban is and what are the punishments for violating the ban. Are we going to start raiding mosques? You see what's happening with ICE and they're going to towns and airports and so forth, bus stations. So how do we battle back against the overtake? That's what I want to know. I want to know what the plan is to put a stop to it and reverse it.
Mike, I don't think they have a plan, and I think that should be disturbing to all of us. And I don't think they have a plan locally. I don't think they have a plan at the state level. I don't even think they have a plan at the national level. And I know that a lot of folks haven't been talking about this lately, But there have you noticed how quiet things have gotten on the deportation front? And a lot of that has folks wondering, has the administration now backed away from the massive deportation enforcement that was underway during the Kristi Noem administration under DHS? We will wait and see on that. But again, the problem, and this is where the lawmakers, even on the Republican side of the aisle, they don't know what to do here. They don't know if we need to send all of the Muslim immigrants back to their home countries. Is that even constitutional? What about the Muslims that were born here? Do we start shutting down mosques? Well, that raises a whole set of constitutional questions. So it's a big problem, because once the Muslims do become the majority, and we're watching this in many states now, New Jersey and Michigan chief among them, where once the Islamists become the majority, Christians are no longer welcome or tolerated in those communities. So, Mike, appreciate the call, but you certainly have given us something to think about. Well, look, I want to go right away to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and welcome to the show our good friend Joe Thomas. He is the co-owner of Thomas Media and also the great morning talk show host for the Talk Media Network and, of course, our great affiliate there in Virginia, WTON. Joe, good to see you today. Hope you're doing well.
Thank you for having us, Todd. I appreciate it, sir. How are you doing? Happy Good Friday to you.
Well, happy Good Friday to you as well. And first of all, thank you for bringing the Todd Stern Show to Virginia. We just love the Commonwealth. It's a beautiful state, wonderful people there, and it's been great to hear from your awesome listeners.
Well, they're terrific people, and they take their role in history. I mean, here we are looking down the barrel of 250 years since we declared our independence, and we did it with a bunch of guys from Central Virginia, and at least my audience, we take that very seriously there. And, you know, I was listening to the caller you had on. It's Congressman Keith Self has started a group. It's the Anti-Sharia Law Caucus out of the Congress. Our Congressman Ben Klein from Virginia's 6th District is a member of it, as is John McGuire from Virginia's 5th. It's most, and this is where it becomes dodgy, because I don't think it's about banning the Islamic faith. It's about banning the use of Sharia law as a parallel to American law, to constitutional law, whatever that looks like anymore anyway, because it seems like that's Johnny Barr the door at this moment to begin with. But they're at least going to take a stand against these Sharia courts that you've seen in places like Minneapolis start to get set up.
You know, Joe, when you look at the caucus, and it's, I mean, I think over 60 members now, the Sharia Free Caucus up on Capitol Hill. And I just, they genuinely don't know what to do here, because if you are going to, you know, take the Quran at, you know, at face value, which is what many of the Islamists are doing, then we've got a big problem on our hands here. And we have seen, for example, I think a couple of days ago, so we have played some audio from Queens, New York, where the Muslim calls to prayer sun up to sundown in neighborhoods. And I mean, it's driving people nuts. And it's going to get worse than that. This is not just about calls to prayer. This will be about changes in lifestyle. And I think we're certainly seeing that in places like Texas, where there is now a lot of pushback from the Texans.
Well, and this is the tightrope. You mentioned it so perfectly before. It is that tightrope of when you have a First Amendment that guarantees that Congress shall not infringe upon. I for these questions, I usually go to Zudi Jasser, who I think is still running for Congress in Arizona, but the founder of the American Islamic Forum for Democracy. And he says, you know, like many religions in the past, there are parts of the Quran that have to be reformed if they're going to live amongst other people. And if not, they're going to, you know, face the consequences, because you're weaponizing faith against other faiths. And that is as un-American a concept as there can be.
Joe Thomas joining us from WTON Radio in Virginia. Of course, Joe, we had your former U.S. Senator, former Governor Allen with us on Newsmax last night or yesterday, on the radio show. Tonight, he's going to be on Newsmax with us. But he's a part of this effort to stop this insane gerrymandering. I know he challenged Governor Spanberger to, what, 3 debates? And my understanding is now she's turned him down. Not going to do it.
No. No, surely not. Governor Spanberger wouldn't even debate her opponent for the governor's mansion last year. There's a discovery I made in this whole process, Todd. There is an invasive species of catfish that lives in the James River, ironically, near Richmond. It is called the Virginia Blue Catfish. And I think we need to rebrand our political party get rid of the donkey. The donkey is yesterday's logo, and come up with the blue catfish for Virginia's Democrats. But Governor Allen, actually, along with me and a fellow named Brian Cannon and a bunch of Democrats and Republicans, led the charge to get this constitutional amendment passed just 5 years ago. And it was a unanimous passage in the General Assembly, and it passed the state 65-35.
Joe, I'm curious about what's going on there, because, you know, I know there are a lot of great conservative people. Vast swaths of the Commonwealth would vote red. What's going on? Did Republicans just stay home? Did voters get snookered by Spanberger? And I know that the candidates on the Republican side of the aisle were not exactly, you know, grade A Donald Trump style candidates. What happened there?
Well, some of them were, and I think especially our lieutenant governor candidate, who, like you and me, is a radio guy. Of course, he worked for Ronald Reagan before that. But one of the things that happens is Virginia gets lulled into this cyclical idea that, well, whoever wins the presidential race, the opposite party just automatically wins the next gubernatorial race. And I tried to impress upon people, it's not the same anymore. These aren't the same, you know, okay, we want a little bit of this, you want a little bit of that. It's, you know, just shades of blue and red Republican Democrat anymore. This is radical Marxist collectivist viewpoints. This is AOC. This is Ilhan Omar. This is as far left as you can be. Bernie Sanders, etc. It's not your grandfather's Democratic Party anymore, but they shrugged it off and let it happen. And I hope in less than a year and a half, we can win back the General Assembly and at least hold Governor Spanberger to account for two more years.
I'm wondering about this this vote on the redistricting, though. Is the wording is very deceiving. It's a little deceptive, a lot deceptive.
Just a little. You have a flair for understatement.
So what exactly are you guys telling voters? Just when you see that question, vote no. Is that what we're telling people?
That's the campaign, is vote no. One of the problems is they somehow have this legal precedent of fairness now. And I know that's a left wing dog whistle anyway. Everything is about fairness. And that's usually a sign that the pigs are going to tell you that some animals are more equal than others. This fairness is, you know, as big a red flag as you can get, Todd, but that's right in the law. I mean, it says to restore fairness, for whatever that means, and it's a temporary suspension of our Constitution in order to do this gerrymandering. And as I've said, and my listeners have reiterated, if you can temporarily suspend your Constitution, you don't have a Constitution.
Well, no, you're right. You're right about that. And so, well, we're going to be all over this. I know we have a lot of radio stations in Virginia that carry the show. And we want to make sure that we do our part to save the Republican side of the congressional delegation there in the Commonwealth.
Only a few, you know, it's April 21st is voting culmination day, is what we call it. We're currently voting right now. We vote for 45 days before the election, which is interesting because the Democrats wanted that, but then when it was inconvenient for them to get the constitutional amendment passed, they said, oh no, those 45 days don't count as election day, it's just the day we count the votes. So it's a typically hypocritical good for me, not for thee kind of behavior from them.
All right. Well, Joe, we're going to have to leave it there, my friend. You know how this business works. We've got to take a break. But we sure do appreciate you and the great work you're doing there at WTON and also on the Talk Media Network as well. God bless you, my friend.
Thank you. God bless. Have a great Easter.
All right. Joe Thomas, everybody, and welcome to all of our new listeners in that part of the great Commonwealth of Virginia. All right, we do have to take a quick break here, folks. Open Line Friday, that means you can call in, talk about whatever you want to talk about today, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show, and this portion of the program brought to you by our good friends at Newsmax, and they've got a wonderful opportunity for you to, and I hope you take advantage of this. I really do. We understand that more than 70% of Americans are not getting the full benefits they deserve from Social Security, and we've got a guy who says, you know what, there are five things that you need to do, and you will be able to boost your Social Security benefits by as much as $188,000 over a lifetime. And Newsmax wants to give you these five key strategies in a special report free of charge. All you have to do is give us a call, 800-999-9690. That's 800-999-9690. And we will send that information to you right away. Again, the number, 800-999-9690. Text and data rates may apply. All right, I want to go to the phones here, and let's say hello to Wayne in New Bern, North Carolina, on the talk station. Hi, Wayne. What's on your mind today?
Actually, it's about Iran. Fully support the war. Thanks for taking my call, Senator.
I'm sorry. Did I get your name wrong? I'm sorry. I missed that.
No, you did. Got my name right.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. Well, go ahead. What's on your mind here, Wayne?
During the Iran stuff, one thing that seems left out that I never hear, and I don't know if I'm just missing it or what, but it seems like the biggest resistance there is the IRGC, and we never really hear anything about us. I mean, that's a large force, supposedly a million soldiers or something like that. And we hear about the leaders being killed, but we don't hear about them going after any bases so much or troops. And it seems like that would be very impactful to the sentiment of people and maybe get Iran to surrender a little earlier if that was involved more.
Well, Wayne, first of all, the numbers are a little off. We understand that the Iranian National, Revolutionary Guard there has about 125,000 total personnel. That's still a big fighting force. We're not getting a lot of information from the White House or the Pentagon over the status of the war. We're just not. And they're being very intentional about that. They keep telling us that we have obliterated and we've won the war. We have total air superiority, and clearly we don't, because a fighter jet got shot down today. So I think a lot of the communication, needs to be looked at here. The White House, they don't want to communicate a lot, but I think the American people, would like to know some basic information. And I think that's a fair point you're bringing up. Exactly who is in charge now? And why aren't the Revolutionary Guard Corps, why aren't they, putting down their weapons and joining the people? Now, the reason why the people haven't risen up is they don't have any weapons. Only the Revolutionary Guard, they're the ones with the weapons. So the local folks, they've got rocks, bricks, okay. But that's about it. Hang tight. Look, I appreciate the call, Wayne. Hang tight, everybody. Got to take a quick break. 901-260-5926. It is Open Line Friday. How do you think the war is going? And what do you think about boots on the ground? Got a lot of soldiers over there waiting on ships. Hang tight. We'll be right back, everybody. All right. Welcome back. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show, and this segment of the program brought to you by our friends at Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian and conservative wireless carrier. If you think switching is a hassle, it's absolutely not with Patriot Mobile. You get to keep your phone, you get to keep your number, and you can possibly upgrade if you'd like to upgrade. Their customer service team is based right here in the United States, and they're going to get you activated in just minutes. And they have a special deal just for our listeners of the Todd Starnes Show. If you sign up today, they're going to give you a free month of service. PatriotMobile.com/Todd is the website, or you can call them at 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Use promo code Todd, and they're going to hook you up with a free month of service. All right, real quick, let's go to the phones here. John in Georgia listening to us on WDUN. Hi, John, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd, you're a great American.
Well, thank you, sir.
I tell you, I'm older than you, retired military on a limited income, but I would give good money to see a debate between Ted Nugent and Bruce Springsteen.
Wow, would that not be great?
I'd pay money to see that.
Yeah, how do you think that would turn out?
Well, I can't say on the radio. As far as you asked about boots on the ground, that's a little bit concerning to me. But I think if it was only for that little island, or maybe just the coastline there of the straits, if it was only done just to open the straits, I think I could be behind it. But as far as the whole country, I don't think I could be behind that.
I have concerns overall about all of that. But again, I'm not running the ship over at the Pentagon. So clearly they've got access to all the data. But I'm telling you, if we do put boots on the ground, John, this thing will not be over by November.
You probably got that right. And I'm former Navy, so I'm kind of concerned why they don't have the straits open. I mean, we've got two carrier strike groups over there. They ought to be able to open up the straits. I mean, I don't see why they can't.
That is a little strange. And again, there are just a lot of questions. And, you know, they're trying to keep all of this on the down low. They're not telling us, you know, normally in a war, you would get daily or at least weekly counts on, you know, God forbid, the number of fatalities, the number of injuries. We're not getting a lot of that information at all. And it just tells me they're trying to keep a lid on as much of the information as possible. And of course, John, the other part of it is all of your long-term Pentagon reporters got booted when they refused to sign those papers promising not to leak info and all that kind of stuff. So you're just not getting the level of information. That can be a good thing. It can be a bad thing. So, you know, we'll just have to see how this plays out. But I do know this. If we put boots on the ground over there, that is not going to be an easy solution. John, thank you for calling in. I want to go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to our good friend, the great national radio host, Joe Messina. Joe, happy Good Friday to you, my friend.
And to you, my brother.
You know, you just heard our caller there, who's a military veteran, and I think even among the hardcore, there is great hesitancy on putting boots on the ground in Iran.
I agree with him. I agree with what he said. We've got the biggest, the greatest, you know, you've heard this, right? The biggest, the greatest, the strongest military on the planet. I agree with that. Send them in and let them do their job. And I'm not talking about necessarily boots on the ground. I'm talking about we've got the Navy. Let's take out what we need to take out. We've got our Air Force, probably the best, most, the strongest Air Force, if you would, on the planet. Let's do it in one big grand sweep if we can. Don't give Iranians you know, Todd, you've been doing this for a long time. The more time you give them to regroup, the more they're going to come at you, the more they're going to get more strategic. They're going to get more help from other nasty players in the area.
I was a little concerned. And again, the president's speech the other night to the nation, that was meant for all the people that don't listen to talk radio and aren't plugged into, you know, to what's happening every single day. And I get that. But the lack of information And I'm not sure, I don't think anybody really understands what we are doing over there. What is the end game here?
Yeah, I think if the goal was to wipe out their ability to launch nukes, because I don't know if you agree with me, I totally agree that the minute they had the ability to launch real nukes pretty much anywhere on the planet, especially towards us, they would have used that. There'd be nothing stopping them from doing that. So I kind of agree with taking them out, stopping the ability for them to do that. But you're right. Where's the end point? Where is the point where we say, okay, we've taken that away from them. We've stopped their ability. We're out of there. We'll keep somebody close by just in case. But I don't know what just in case is, because I know you pay attention to this. We've been told before for years now, they're 2 weeks away from having a nuke. They're 2 weeks away from this, 2 months away from that. I don't know what to believe, Todd, honestly.
Yeah, I don't either. And that's the thing. It's, you know, who has the president's ear? And I'm reading a lot of different reports that there are some that are feeding the president bad intel, and these are neocons and these are war hawks. And the president is being isolated in some instances as far as the information he's getting. So I know that, you know, the American people are. And I think very soon the American people are going to start pushing back and saying, we've got to know what's going on here. Because originally they told us, 4 weeks, 4 to 5 weeks.
Yep.
And when they said that, we're like, come on, that's impossible. But again, if the issue is we've got to make sure they cannot make nuclear weapons, will that actually require special forces going in and finding the plutonium? And those are specialized groups, yes.
Right. We've got the bunker busters. We should be able to root them out that way. I kind of feel I'm kind of mixed with this, and you can give me your idea. But we know we can clear the Strait of Hormuz. We know we can do that by ourselves. The UK is been rendered useless by their ideology at this point in time. Remember, these guys had the strongest military on the planet for millennials, and all of a sudden they can't get out of their own way, right? But we don't need the Strait. I agree with President Trump. Let's take care of our own. Let them fend for themselves for a while and see how they like that and see how they're going to deal with it.
February 28th, that's when the war started. And here we are, April, 3rd, 4th? What day is it? I don't have my calendar up. So we're already moving beyond, you know, what they initially said. And I know that we're going to have callers as stars. You got to give Trump a break. You know, this is war. Yeah, but what happens if this war is dragging on into, say, May or June or July, and then the war becomes the campaign issue? And that will drive people to the polls on the other side.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but even our people, I'm getting the calls on my show. I'm getting the emails. They're saying, you know, they're doing this. The timing is off. What is Trump trying to hide? He's not trying to hide anything. I really, truly believe initially the idea was to go in there and stop this threat of the nukes. Again, he needs a solid stop point. He needs to come up and say, look, either you guys get involved, NATO, whoever has to get involved with this, get involved, or we're out. We'll protect ourselves, and you're on your own. And soon you're going to have the European Nation of Islam if you keep it up.
You know, that it's a good point you raise. I know we have a guy that calls in regularly from North Carolina, Charles, and he's been very concerned. I mean, the guy's super conservative, but he's very concerned about us getting involved in what could be a forever war. And I think that's what a lot of folks on the conservative side of the aisle, and especially the America First contingent of the party, are just really concerned about. And I think that is a valid concern. Because, again, this was, you know, Trump is not a pro-war president. So for him to make this giant leap, I would love to – I just want to know the backstory of what led the president to do what he did.
But you touched on something. You went over it pretty quick, and that was Trump getting bad information. I truly believe he's a loyalist, right? He loves people that are loyal to him, and I truly believe he's getting bad information. I think he's acting on bad information. Pam Bondi, lover or hater, she did a great job in Florida, But you knew when she came in early on, she was a paper tiger. She wasn't taking these things on. She wasn't doing what she needed to do, and he's got others around him like that. And there are a few people that I've spoken with. I truly believe that the deep state is even a lot deeper and more ingrained now than they were during his first term.
Joe Messina joining us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today from California. You know, Joe, again, it's, when you look at the midterm elections, people are already a little just, I think lethargic is the probably an operative word for the Republicans right now. They're not really all that energized or motivated. Gas prices going up were at what average of $4 a gallon. And the president, and rightfully so, says, look, once the war is over, those prices are going to go down. That's great. But the price of diesel was already still high, leading to high prices at the grocery store. You know, how do you run an effective campaign for Republicans when you've got gas prices that, again, I don't see those prices coming down anytime soon. And I certainly don't see grocery prices coming down either.
Yep. I'm with you. It's that vicious circle where, you know, gas prices go up, people have to pay more for gas. The truck drivers that deliver your groceries, that company has to pay more for gas to get those groceries to the store. That truck driver is buying groceries. He needs more money. It's just a vicious circle that goes round and round and round. But I'm with you. I think this thing needs to stop. So prices come down. But my God, you look at the bigger picture. Where do we stop? Where does it leave us? How far do you let Iran go in the bad acts that it's doing? And the fact that the European people aren't stepping up or the countries aren't stepping up really concerns me.
Well, we've got to get rid of NATO. I just Amen. I have no use for them.
I agree. I'm 100% on board. Here's a group of people that this was put together, this organization, so they could use it to protect themselves. And what are they doing? Nothing with it. We're having to step in. They're giving us a hard time for protecting them. How many times have we saved the French's backside? Okay, enough. Let them go. Let them learn how to speak Arabic.
It's true. And I hate to say it, but they're wusses. And the worst part about it is they're just rude people.
Yes, they are. I'll give you that. Almost worse than Bostonians, where I come from.
Wow. All right, my friend. Look, I know you've got a busy weekend. Want to wish you a happy Easter Sunday well in advance. God bless you, Joe.
Yeah, God bless you and the great work you're doing, Todd. And happy Easter to you, too.
All right. The great Joe Messina, everybody, on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And those of you watching us, you were able to see Joe Messina. All right. Real quick here, let's go to the phone lines. Jerry in Iowa. Jerry, what's on your mind?
Okay, I'm thinking about the forever war boots on the ground in the U.S. that could be happening. I know a Palestinian grocery store that the brothers, they just stockpile weapons. They are thrilled with the Second Amendment. But that's not why I called. I called about my conversation with a graduate student, and he was explaining to me that we have the nice Muslims all wrong. He said that they don't just rush right in and start chopping off heads and shooting people and blowing stuff up. He goes, they're not barbarians. First, before they do all that stuff, they will give us an opportunity to convert. So they're not just going to rush right in and start chopping. They'll give us an opportunity to convert. And then after a while, and he's kind of smiling at me like, you guys don't know what's going on. Then if that doesn't go well, then they'll start doing the other stuff. So you got to realize that the nice Muslims are definitely nice in the beginning. But if they get a larger population, now I'm starting to give my opinion on it, that they will not, it'll be no more Mr. Nice Guy. So yeah, it's first is the infiltration, and then it's then they start getting rough. But yeah, there are people in this country, Muslims, who are stockpiling weapons, and all those 400 mosques in Texas, you gotta wonder how much ammunition they are keeping in the cellar. But yeah, I had that conversation with a Muslim grad student, and yeah, it's true about the grocery store Palestinians. They're really into guns. So that's kind of my comment.
All right. Well, Jerry, I appreciate you phoning in, and I'll just say this. And as we go to break here, folks, the reality is that will happen in this country. And, you know, you may have to make a decision. Who do you choose to follow? And as for me and my house, we are proud to be gun-toting, Bible-clinging Southern Baptist, and we're going to stand our ground and fight. We're not going to go down quietly, not at all. All right, real quick, time to throw out another trivia question. According to Business Insider, how many peeps do Americans eat during Easter? How many peeps? 1.5 billion, 460 million, or 42,000? If you know the answer, give us a call. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Dylan, I'm curious. Have you heard about what Costco's doing for Easter? They've got a 10-pound Easter bunny. A 10-pound chocolate Easter bunny.
Now, who needs that much chocolate?
Well, I can think of a few folks.
I might want that, actually.
Is it milk chocolate or dark chocolate? That would depend for me. That would be a deal breaker.
Yeah, for sure.
So Costco shoppers are all excited about this oversized Easter treat. And it's $112.97. That's how much it costs. Up to $140 in some stores. I want to know if anybody in the audience has actually bought this thing. So they say that it actually comes with instructions, because it's not like you can't just nibble on the ear like when your traditional, you know, Easter basket, you know, Easter bunnies. No, you have to use either a hammer, a mallet, or a rolling pin.
Right. This is a giant bunny. You can't just go willy-nilly into it. So you got to take it seriously.
Oh, here we go. It contains 151 servings.
Oh, gosh.
It's a semi-solid bunny made with milk chocolate, white chocolate, and dark chocolate. So it's got all the flavors of the rainbow right there. How about that?
Sounds good, actually.
So you're supposed to, again, they're saying you basically wrap the bunny in a towel and give it one bold whack. And we're talking about the chocolate bunny, so don't be going out back and bringing a real bunny inside and trying that. That's inappropriate. They also suggest using a serrated bread knife. So all of these instructions are on the packaging here. They named the bunny Pete. Pete the Bunny. And people are debating everything from the quality of the chocolate. Has anybody had one of these things? One Reddit user says, I wonder how many people would actually buy this thing. You know, every year, the Stearns family, we do the chocolate turkey. But that's made by Dinstals, and it's absolutely delicious. Just a little hint of orange in their chocolate. So anyway, if any of you folks have got this, this is an insane bunny. Oh, I'm watching a video of someone massacring the bunny now. That is not a pretty look. Anyway, give us a call. Curious to hear what you think about Costco's 10-pound giant bunny. Hang tight, everybody. Hour 3 of The Big Show coming up next.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us. Hour 3 of the Good Friday edition of the program underway. Hope you and your family are going to have a wonderful weekend. Of course, Easter Sunday services, many churches holding Good Friday services. And no matter where you worship, go to church this evening and just remember what this season is really all about. You know, yesterday we were talking about aliens and this these reports coming out from Congressman Tim Burchett that 2 weeks ago he says he was briefed on something that would, quote, set the world on fire. And I'm curious, what do you make of that? I mean, Tim Burchett is a straight shooter. He's earned that reputation in Tennessee and also nationally now. He is a frequent guest on many cable news channels. But he says he was briefed 2 weeks ago on an issue about extraterrestrial life that would have set the Earth on fire and unglued the country if released. So my question is, why would a straight shooter like that? I mean, look, I get it if MTG went out there and says something like that. I'm like, oh, well, you know, that's MTG. No, but this is Tim Burchett. So, and he's being dead serious about it. I mean, he certainly seems to be sincere. And I'm curious to know, and I'm just curious to know what he was told. But apparently these are top secret briefings and they're not allowed to bring this information out. So if you're the congressman, why are you telling people this? You're telling people that, I mean, what exactly is it that would freak out the country? Is it, I mean, and I'm just going to, and let me put my own personal beliefs aside for just a moment and just we'll play a little make believe here. But let's just assume that what this is really all about is that there is extraterrestrial life out there and that these, whoever it is, the aliens are not friendly. And the aliens have more technology and are far more superior intellectually than Earthlings. And what if it's possible that as humans, and Dylan, just think about this for a second, as humans, we're at the top of the food chain, right? I mean, we, thanks to our technology and the things we have like guns, we are at the top of the food chain.
Right.
Unless you go into like the ocean, and then there was, oh, who was years ago, Sister Pooh. I don't know if she's still around. She used to do a little podcast, and Sister Pooh said the reason why she doesn't go into the ocean is because that's the shark's home. And she said, if a chicken came into my home, it would get eaten. And much like if a human goes into the shark's home, they're going to get eaten. May I just say something? That makes 100% common sense. It makes sense to me, which is why I don't like to go into the ocean and I don't like to go into the rivers. And you know why? Because that's where the alligators live and the piranha. And I don't want to get eaten. And I'm telling you right now, an alligator looking at me, it's thinking prime rib, baby. Get some A1 steak sauce. We're going to town tonight. So anyway, I'm just wondering if whatever they've discovered, they realize, uh-oh, we're not at the top of the food chain after all. And I don't know what this means. I don't know if the aliens want to eat us or they want to put us to work in some sort of a slave colony. I don't know. Or do other untoward things. But it's Good Friday, so I don't want to go down that path. Otherwise, why exactly is, what's he up to? What is Burchett up to here? And by the way, here's Matt Gaetz, and here's what Matt Gaetz had to say about all this.
I had a guy who was uniformed. He was a senior enlisted with the United States Army. Came into my office at Crestview, Florida, in a non-classified setting. I had members of my staff there, and what they explained is that the military ran a very secret program where aliens that were living were in forced breeding programs with humans that had been abducted from war zones and from even the caravans of migrants. Now, again, I didn't verify this, but what the whistleblower was telling me is that there were like between 6 and 12 locations around the country where this happened. And what he wanted was a group members of Congress to all show up at the same time at all of these different locations so that any of those activities could not be moved. And of course, it's a physical impossibility to get members of Congress to simultaneously show up at like 8 locations at one time. And so that never occurred.
All right, so there you go. And I have no, I mean, it just sounds ludicrous. It sounds outrageous. And why would you, I mean, that would be like me coming on this program and announcing this to you, and people would think Todd's off his rocker. But Matt Gaetz genuinely seems to believe here that the American people, the government of the United States of America, the government of the United States of America, they're taking all of the illegals coming across on the coming across the border in those caravans, and they're mating them with aliens. Now, again, I'm setting aside my own personal beliefs on what I think is going on here, and let's just take that at face value. Who in their right mind think that is a good idea? Who thinks that is a great idea? Anybody want to tell me that? Who came up with the idea? You know what? Let's see if the square peg can go into the round hole. I mean, this is insane bonkers. And so now, according to Matt Gaetz, you've got possibly people who have been bred who might be half human, half alien, which could explain Hollywood in a nutshell. Could, possibly. But I want to get back to Burchett because, again, Matt Gaetz, he's got his own issues. And they're not good. But Tim Burchett is a straight shooter. So I'm just curious, what do you think he was up to? What do you think the purpose of those comments were that he made in the interview? He said, if you saw the things I saw, they would keep you up at night. Why do you think he did that? Why do you think he shared that information? He didn't have to share that information. He did share that information. He could have said, you know what? He was on Newsmax. He said, you know what, Newsmax? I'd love to go down this path with you, but I can't. It's top secret. I cannot talk about it at all. Let's move on. And the host would have moved on. But he said something that I think needs some explanation. And we've reached out to the congressman, and we're going to try to figure out. We need to get him on the show so we can just figure out what's going on. Because I think he's unnecessarily, his comments are causing a little anxiety in the nation right now, and rightfully so. And would it be like, who's another senator that just kind of a regular old, well, it'd be like Jim Jordan in Congress. Jim Jordan coming out and saying something like this. It would make you wonder what the heck is going on here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. What do you think is going on here? All right, let's go to Scott in Athens, Georgia, WDUN, our great affiliate there. Scott, what do you make of all of this?
Yeah, I talked to you last week. I hate to call again, but I just wanted to say that, do you remember the show The Outer Limits back in the 1960s?
Well, that was a little bit before my time, but I'm familiar with the premise of it, yeah.
Well, there was an episode called Architects of Fear. And Robert Colt was in it. But anyway, in the episode was about scientists who decided to create an alien in order to shape the foundations of the world. And they created this alien from a human. And they built a spaceship and did all this stuff. But anyway, it went awry. And they ended up getting exposed for what they did. But this sounds like the same thing. That basically somebody is presenting this to Burchett and them and showing them this that either scientists have created here and are trying to pull a fast one on people or something. But this, I believe that that's what's going on.
Well, it's if that's the case, then and again, I don't know, but if you asked me, I would think these are. If all of this is actually real, that those would be either, you know, some sort of spiritual warfare going on, and we're talking about demons, we're talking about, you know, angels. I think it is something of a spiritual nature as opposed to an extraterrestrial nature. That's what I think is going on here.
Well, I think Satan's trying to deceive the world. He's trying to the delusion, and men are behind it. I believe scientists like, as I said, that episode, Architects of Fear, they created these hybrid aliens in order to appear that there's other extraterrestrial life when there's actually nothing out there. It's probably going to be the biggest deception of all time.
Well, I will say this, Congressman Burchett's putting himself in an interesting position because, well, first of all, if it's all true, then he becomes a hero. But if it's not, I mean, the guy becomes a pariah.
Well, just remember what the Bible says, that Satan will deceive the world. And there will only be a few that will see the truth.
yeah.
as far as those that are chosen by the Lord. But Satan's going to send a delusion. And this may be the delusion that's going to get everybody.
Well, Scott, well, thank you for that call. I want to play some audio. This is Congressman Burchett. He was on One America News last night, and he unveiled some new information. Take a listen.
And I had a high-ranking, and now he's a former member of the Navy. The last thing he told me before he went out that door was, "Tim, they're real." And he described the situation under the water that they sonared an object about as big as a football field that was doing close to 200 miles an hour, and there's no fish that's big as a football field, and there sure as hell isn't anything that can do 200 miles an hour. It might get close to 40 miles an hour, and no heat signature as well. You know, we got areas of the sightings that you see a higher report of the propensity of sightings around these deep water areas, and there's four or five of those in the ocean. We know more about the surface of the moon than we do these areas. And when you're talking several miles down, we don't have the capabilities of anyway even getting all those areas. And so,
wow. So there you have it. He again says they're real, and he said that there was one underwater unidentified object that was moving over 200 miles an hour. You know, isn't that interesting, though? We can go to the moon, but we can't explore the depths of our own planet. We do not have that technology. Does not exist, at least from what they're telling us, it doesn't exist. Oh, by the way, Dylan, now the latest is that we're really not sending astronauts to the moon. That it's.
I saw that coming.
You saw it
a mile away.
Yeah. Right.
Anything that we do, it's all going to be questioned because, you know, AI's gotten a lot better.
So they have escape pods, right? And that's part of a new thing. And so as the rocket was taking off, you know, the pods were coming sliding out, which is what they're supposed to do. They're only there in the event you have to abort the takeoff. They were secretly hustled out of the capsule. It's all make-believe. You can't make this stuff up. You know, there are people that literally believe that we faked the moon landing and that never happened back in the 1960s. It's true. I don't know what to think about people. All right, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, let's go to the phones. Chattanooga, Tennessee, Mike is on the line. Hey, Mike, what's going on? What's on your mind?
How's my favorite talk show host of all time?
Well, Mike, it's good to hear from you. It's been a while.
Yeah, I've been really busy. I want to approach this from a logical point of view. Let's just suspend the Bible for a second. I hate to say that as a Christian because we can talk about Ezekiel and, you know, theologically we'll be here all day. But let's use our objectivist reason, logic, and common sense as scientists. Because you're a scientist, I'm a scientist. That means empirical observation. And that's why we know evolution's a fraud. Because there's no empirical observation. That's why it's a theory. Now, we can look at it this way, that the aliens are real because we've been here billions of years. We don't know that. But let's assume that we are. Let's assume that there are civilizations millions and billions of years in advance of us. Can they traverse the universe? According to Einstein, no. But let's assume they can warp time space. Okay, so? okay. So what? Now, let's assume the government doesn't have any other enemy except the aliens left. And the big alien invasion, the Gulf of Tonkin, is what they're planning. Because it's the last thing that it can do to get people on their side, to once again to control the individual. But I can tell you this, with extraordinary claims, you need extraordinary evidence, Todd, you know that. So where are the aliens? And I can tell you this, I've been looking for them for 60 years. I've been on mountaintops in the middle of nowhere. I'm a private pilot, I fly planes. I've not seen one single shred of direct evidence that UAPs or UFOs exist. Not one. And I want them to. I think it would be exciting. And if they do, why are we still squirting fluid out of the back of a rocket ship to go to the moon. If we have this advanced technology, why? And you must have saw our Artemis launch a couple of days ago. Exciting, exciting launch.
Well, it's thrilling, but can I just say the video really sucks? I mean, it's just the whole thing. You know, NASA during the actual launch when the booster rocket separated, they cut to a shot of the crowd. You know, it's just. And now, you know, the images are just really poor quality because apparently there's a bandwidth issue, but that is certainly not the case on Elon Musk's rocket ships.
Now, listen, the government can't do that right, you know, with the internet and broadband. That's not their thing. They really, you know, Elon Musk does everything right. These guys are just bureaucrats. It's layer and layer of bureaucracy. Why are we using a rocket ship that we used for years, going back to the moon using the same method, landing in the ocean using the same method? Because for 50 years, we've done nothing except circle the Earth. But that being said, once again, my question is, if we have this alien technology, they claim we reverse engineered this, why are we still shooting liquid out of the back of a rocket to propel them at 17,500 miles an hour to escape the Earth's atmosphere?
Well,
That's the question.
It's a fair question. And again, it's, you know, I'm always about the evidence. Show me the proof. You know, if you're going to come out here and you're going to make these kinds of claims, because people really, you know, they listen to Congressman Burchett and all these others. And I mean, this is all people are talking about. The New York Post has a big story up today about it. Where is the evidence? Otherwise, you know, I'm sorry. I have a big problem believing what you are telling me. Mike, I got to run. It is great hearing from you, and it's a great point. If, in fact, we have captured all these advanced, you know, civilizations, rocket ships and spaceships, why are we having to go to the moon on a rocket with really bad Wi-Fi? It's a fair question. Even the toilet doesn't work, apparently. That's crazy. 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative, I just got to ask, do you really believe that human remains, or even my favorite subject, human poop, are okay as compost or fertilizer? Do you really believe that?
In this situation, yes.
Sweet Lord Almighty, what is going on in Oklahoma? Welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. This is an insane story. The voice you heard is from State Representative Jim Shaw. He's the guy asking the question. There is a bill under consideration in Oklahoma, which I have to all of our listeners in Bartlesville and Tulsa and Oklahoma City, you guys had to be freaking out about this. A bill to legalize the use of composted human bodies as fertilizer. I want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to Representative Shaw. All right, this is the craziest thing I have heard at least this week. And there's been a lot of crazy this week, sir.
Yeah, no, I have no doubt. But join the club. It's been catching the attention of a lot of folks locally and nationally, for sure.
So take me through this. Who came up with this brilliant idea? Was this a Democrat or Republican lawmaker? And what exactly would happen if this bill becomes law?
So this was introduced by a Republican lawmaker, Representative Eddie Dempsey, and was co-authored by another Republican senator on the Senate side.
I had no. Whoops, are you there? Sorry, I think we may have lost contact with you. Do we have you back, Mr. Representative?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
All right, go right ahead. Yes.
Okay. Very good. So, it was a Republican representative in the House and also in the Senate that co-authored this bill together. And if this were to go into law, it would legalize human composting, or the politically correct term is natural organic reduction, which is just a fancy way to say that my colleagues in the legislature are really okay with apparently voting to churn up and bake human bodies into soil. That's practically what we're talking about.
This is insane. So you can have, like, Grandpa Starnes gets what buried, and if this thing becomes law, you could have, I don't know, a crop of rutabagas growing out of Grandpa Starnes.
Essentially, yes. I mean, unfortunately, that is the reality that we're living in. You know, a lot of people that are saying that this is okay, that it wouldn't be used on food production. Well, the reality is the law in place today does not explicitly prohibit it. And the law that's being proposed is not explicitly prohibiting it. So it is possible, and really is just flat out disgusting.
Well, it is disgusting. I remember a couple of months back, I own a news radio station in Memphis, Tennessee. And on Saturdays, there's a live garden show, and they take calls from, you know, gardeners and all that kind of whatnot. And somebody actually called in and wanted to talk about this particular issue. I had never heard of anything like that until I found out about this legislation in Oklahoma.
Well, and the reason why you haven't heard much about it is because this practice is relatively new across the nation. It was just introduced in 2019 or 2020 in Washington, which makes sense. And there's 14 states that allow this today, all either radically controlled by Democrats or swing states that voted for Joe Biden. So this is not a conservative policy and should be completely out of bounds for Oklahoma.
Now, it's my understanding, what, 14 blue states already have legalized this whole process?
Correct. That's correct.
Wow, this is insane. So do you guys have any, it creeps me out. I'm disgusted. But if this is actually in use, what are the benefits? Are there any benefits to using, you know, grandma to grow a crop of turnip greens?
I sure can't see any. I mean, from the physical side of it and the contaminants that we have as humans, another issue that I ran on a couple of years ago in my campaign was to try to ban the use of biosolids or sewage sludge as land applied fertilizer. And now we're talking about using human composting as fertilizer. And it we're going down the wrong path as a nation, and certainly here in Oklahoma for sure.
Well, here you have to appreciate the way this was written. The controversy centers around the transition of the human body from a vessel of life into a fertilizer in the field. And it raises questions over sustainable death care. I want to read off the states here that are actually doing this, because I suspect a lot of people, Mr. Representative, would not be aware that this is happening, but it's happening in Arizona, California, Nevada, Colorado, Delaware, Georgia, you folks in Gainesville, listen up, Maine, Minnesota, Maryland, New Jersey, New York, Oregon, Vermont, and even Washington, D.C. So, how do we know how this works? Do they just cart the bodies off? Do you have to donate your body to somebody's garden? How does that process work?
So the way that I understand it is that there are facilities, natural organic reduction facilities that would be here, and you would put the body into a stainless steel cylinder along with wood chips and straw, and then what you would otherwise know to be a typical composting process takes place over the span of about 4 to 6 weeks.
I am shocked by this. So it's basically almost like, is it like a wood chipper, I guess? So maybe instead of, like, you know, I don't know, most people like to be cremated or just dumped in the ground. This is so disgusting, sir.
It really is. I mean, the output is fertilizer. I mean, it's compost, which by the very definition is fertilizer. And the fact that we are looking at human beings now as byproducts to use, here in death, but at, you know, what point do we cross the line? It's a very, very disturbing, slippery slope that we're heading down as a society.
Wow. So it's called recompose is the process. And it involves placing the human body in a vessel filled with organic materials like wood chips, as you mentioned, straw and alfalfa. And then it takes, they say, about 30 to 60 days to generate 1 cubic yard of soil.
Yeah. I mean, this is not just a small output like you would, expect from, the cremation process with a little urn. I mean, this is a 3 foot by 3 foot by 3 foot cubic yard of compost that you're getting, which could fill the bed of a truck, quite frankly.
Have we heard, I mean, if this becomes law, I mean, will there be any requirements, say, for example, this rice grown courtesy of Uncle, dear old Uncle Ben? I mean, it seems to me if you're a consumer, you should know if your food is being grown out of, somebody's dead derriere.
There is currently nothing in statute today and nothing in the law that's being proposed that would require labeling. And we have been fighting this on the biosolids or humaner that I call it, which is the sewage sludge, trying to get the farmers and ranchers that use that as land applied fertilizer to have labeling if it's going on a crop or what have you. And we have been shut down every year on those pieces of legislation.
Yes, definitely. You know, we have a caller here from Memphis. His name is Mike, and wants to weigh in on this. Mike, you're on the air with the representative. What say you?
Hey, greetings, guys. Yeah, I called in about, I guess it's been over a month ago, but there's three different things. What he's talking about is biosolids, where they'll take poop and convert it into a product that they use for fertilizer. Then you've got liquefaction, where they literally put you in light, dissolve you down, and out in the western states where they recycle the water, it would go into the water system, and then it would come back through your tap. The other thing is human composting. The problem with all of these is, remember mad cow disease? They discovered you don't feed decomposed cows to cows. You don't do that with humans either, because it would create all kinds of problems, health problems. That's really the downside, is that it could really mess up the entire food chain.
Oh, yeah. That is an interesting point there. Mr. Representative, I mean, have you talked to any medical doctors? I mean, are you getting any advice from the medical community over this?
So what we've seen, what he talked about on the biosolids program being used as fertilizer, which is human and industrial waste, there are infinitely, you know, numbers of forever chemicals. And when you look at what we consume as human beings, whether it's pharmaceuticals or narcotics or chemotherapy treatments, I mean, that doesn't just go away either in human waste or in human composting. So the gentleman on the line is absolutely correct. There are a ton of contaminants in the output with this that have significant risks to soil health, to human health, to food and water, you know, supplies. It doesn't just go away magically.
All right. Well, where are you guys at in the process here? Do they have the votes to pass this in Oklahoma?
So we passed it in the House. Not we. They passed it in the House. Let me rephrase that. 59-37, bipartisan. There were, you know, an enormous amount of Republicans that voted in favor of this bill. So it's now sitting over in the Senate. We changed hands with the Senate last week. I am hearing mixed rumors on the Senate killing it and having it be dead on arrival, pun intended, perhaps. But I'll believe it when I see it. The legislature in Oklahoma is shockingly nowhere near as red and conservative as you would expect.
Yeah, clearly, yeah. I kind of picked up on that. You kind of lost me at poop. So, yeah, I got that. Folks, just be aware, and especially if we listed the names of states, you need to be calling your lawmakers and find out what the heck is going on. Mr. Shaw, we certainly appreciate you joining us today and alerting us to this is a very, very important story. What a crazy, crazy thing. Thank you again.
Thank you, Todd. Appreciate it.
All right. Dylan, I...
No, don't talk to me.
They're calling it humanure.
Yeah.
So it's not like clever manure, it's humanure.
Yeah, I can't... I'm glad I haven't had lunch yet, so thank you.
So if you're going, in all honesty, say, for example, you know, I love Uncle Ben's rice. It literally could be Uncle Ben.
Yeah.
Or Aunt Jemima.
Stop.
Or God forbid it's liquefied. It's like, why does my coffee taste like grandma?
Oh,
you know, it's got the hint of lilacs or lavender.
It's funny, but it's crazy that could be a thing.
It could be. Oh, my gosh. So I'm just curious, did you folks in Georgia know that this is happening in your state where they're, I mean, again, it just seems to me that if you're a funeral homeowner, you know, there's really no way of knowing if the body, you know, once they close the casket, I mean, you could have some sort of like backdoor, you know, out the back door goes, you know, grandma or Aunt Sally, and the funeral home is making a few extra dollars by selling Aunt Sally to the local, I don't know, landscaper.
Gosh. I can't.
Good Lord, what are they putting in that wood chipper? It goes Aunt Sally spread over the Mid-South.
Golly.
I just can't. It's been one of those. Look, this has been a weird week, right?
Yeah.
Pam Bondi gets fired. We found out that Christine Ohm's husband is a transvestite. Lindsey Graham is prancing around Disney World without any children. And then Matt Gaetz told us that we're breeding humans with aliens. And now apparently we're growing crops of corn out the backsides of decomposing grandparents. I need a six-pack of Dr. Pepper. We'll be right back, America. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show, this Friday edition. I know a lot of people heading off to church and Sunday, Easter Sunday. We always, our family always gets together at the Peabody Hotel. We just have this as a little tradition, getting together at the Peabody Hotel for Easter brunch after church. And, of course, the Peabody is the Grand Hotel of the South, and it is decked out. They just do a great job, and it's just a lot of fun. So if you're in the Memphis area, the Mid-South, and you make it over to the Peabody, be sure to hunt us down. You'll see us. If we're not at the table, we're in the buffet line. So they have carving stations, Dylan. Big fan of the carving stations.
Yeah. And lots of eggs.
Lots of eggs.
Just that's a random a little fact.
Odd, yes.
In case you wanted a lot of eggs, they keep bringing them out.
They do a breakfast. You're talking about the Easter eggs.
Yeah. Well, and scrambled.
Okay, very good. By the way, Little Stearns, Caden Stearns, turning 18 years old on Sunday. I was going to
say, Little Stearns is never, he's never going to be little ever again.
He's 6'1 now.
Yeah, he's taller than
he's
me.
He's taller. He's a tall fella.
Yeah.
And is turning 18 years old Sunday.
Wow.
Yeah. He's in school right now, so we can say that we've had a surprise for him.
Ooh.
At the Peabody. So
it's exciting.
We'll see how all that plays out. But ultimately, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that makes our country great, and I believe this is the one thing that makes our country great, is that our founding fathers understood that we were meant to be a Christian nation, and therefore the Christian holidays especially are so vitally important. And it's an important time for us. As much as we love Christmas time and we love all the celebration and all of that, ultimately, the most important part of the Christian story is what happened this weekend where Christ crucified and he arose. And we are commemorating that today. We are celebrating that on Sunday in the church houses all across America. And ultimately, that is the ultimate story. And I hope that, you know, and again, there's nothing wrong with any of the Easter egg hunts and all of that kind of stuff, and that's great. But you cannot forget the reason that we are remembering this time of year. You can't do that. And I thought it'd be great if we just closed out our show with a song from Zach Williams, because as good as Friday is, we all know that Sunday is a coming, and that is a very special thing for all of us as believers, because we serve a risen Savior. So from all of us here at the Todd Stearns Radio Show, we want to say happy Easter to all of you. Whatever you do, be sure to get out there and go to church this weekend.
You can't tell the night from day, and you're tired of fighting battles when all you feel is pain. Oh, it's a heavy wind. There's hope on the horizon, 'cause the cross was not the end. Let joy come in the morning, child, lift your head. Don't you give up.
your Sunday's come.
For the daddy struggling to make ends meet.